Thank you for listening to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. This is Real Sports Talk for the Real Sports Fan. And I definitely appreciate you Real Sports fans who are listening right now. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do me a huge favor and leave this podcast a 5-star rating. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that 5-star rating review will definitely be appreciated. If you're listening on any other platform, that could be Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever, please share it from that platform so that your friends and family can see the podcast, listen to the podcast, love the podcast, subscribe, and then share it with their friends and family. I'm trying to get this podcast to the highest levels of podcastivity, and I need your help to get there. It'll be truly, truly appreciated. We got a lot to get to in today's episode. We're going to talk a little rap. Yep. We're going to talk a little college sports, which I don't normally touch on. And, of course, NBA. So let's start with college basketball, women's college basketball to be exact, as last night the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks defeated the Iowa Lady Hawkeyes in a national championship game. Good game. Very good game. South Carolina's deep. Their team is just super deep. 1 through 9, super talented. So many young players that contribute to that team and really show you what is possible going forward with what South Carolina can do. Don Staley has built something and is building something that is remarkable at South Carolina. And it's different than when UConn was dominating, in my opinion, because when UConn went on that run some years back when they won like 100 plus games in a row, I was just starting to make sports content. And I remember I made a video saying that it was bad for the women's game to have one team dominating like that. And I still stand by that. Some people may say that's hypocritical, but let me explain why that was different compared to what South Carolina is doing. The difference is the rest of the teams in comparison to the dominant team. So in South Carolina, they went undefeated this year and they were dominant, but it still was competitive. There still was chances for other teams to win. They weren't blowing out ranked teams on a regular. When UConn went on that run back in the day where they won 100 games in a row, they had more wins in that winning streak by 30 or more points than they did by 20 or less. They were blowing everybody out. And this wasn't just, you know, the little schools that you pay a little money to so you can warm up and get your feet under you for the season. No, they were blowing out ranked teams. Like if they were playing number 12, number 12 had no shot, none. And that's not good for any sport. And at the time I got a lot of flack because people were like, oh, you're just saying that because it's the women. No, nobody wants to watch a blowout in any sport. No one is going to sit around and continue to watch a game if it's not competitive. No one. So at that time, it just wasn't competitive. UConn was too top heavy compared to the rest of the teams. It's not UConn's fault. Other teams had to catch up, which eventually they did. And now you have women's college basketball where you have multiple teams with multiple storylines that gets everybody involved, and you have games where you have 10 plus million people watching women's college basketball. And that's what you got. LSU, Iowa, you had, what, 12 million people? I think the final numbers from last night's game was 18 million watching the championship game. That's amazing. Now, the next thing is, how does that translate to the WNBA? I am a fan of WNBA. I have covered the WNBA. And it's crazy to me because people love women's college basketball. The best of the best of the women in college basketball are the ones going to the WNBA. And it's even more so than the NBA because the NBA has 30 teams. The WNBA has 12. So you're truly getting a limited portion of the best in the WNBA. So how does the WNBA take advantage of this? They may need to ask the NBA for, you know, a heavy marketing budget. But you also want to make sure that you're not putting too much on the shoulders of Caitlin Clark. And the reason I say that is Caitlin Clark is going to be viewed as WNBA's Larry Bird by some people. Now, I'm not saying that just because she's white and can shoot. I'm saying that because Larry Bird and Magic Johnson came around in a time where the NBA needed an image change. It needed superstars to come and to be on the forefront to carry the league. They carried it, passed the baton to Jordan. Jordan passed the baton to Kobe. Kobe passed the baton to LeBron. And now LeBron has passed the baton to several superstars who are young in the NBA right now. And the WNBA has stars. Don't get me wrong. Asia Wilson, Sabrina Ionescu, Breonna Stewart, Elena Deladon. Like, they have a lot of stars who, some are veterans, like Elena Deladon is a veteran now, but you have some who are still considered young and haven't reached their prime yet. Asia Wilson, Sabrina Ionescu, they're going to be around for a while. And you have this influx of talent coming in from college. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, along with a bunch of other young women who are coming in. So this is why I say you can't put it just on Caitlin Clark, or you shouldn't put it on just Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark already has, or will have, the responsibility and the pressure that comes along with being a number one overall pick that's considered a phenom. Right, you think about Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama has the pressure of being the Spurs savior already on him. But he doesn't have to think about, or he doesn't have the pressure being put on him to save the NBA or to be the face of the NBA. He might be that one day because he's so good, but it's going to come more organically. Like, okay, we have all these other stars as well, but this is the main guy because he turned out to be the best. Maybe when Victor Wembanyama is 25, he'll be the best player in the league. We just have to wait and see. With Caitlin Clark, there's going to be an immediate spotlight. Can she bring the ratings from college to WNBA? And hopefully the W is able to do a good enough job of spreading that around that it's not just on her. I want Caitlin Clark to be able to have a regular rookie season with the normal rookie pressure that comes along with that, right? And she's going to be on a young team that's still trying to build, but they're going to have two foundational pieces with Aaliyah Boston, who won Rookie of the Year last year, and Caitlin Clark coming in. And hopefully it can build around those two and try to make it work. But there has to be something done as far as getting the attention of the college fans for the WNBA. Now, some of that just naturally in college, you're going to have more of an alliance to university that, you know, you grew up rooting for, or that you actually went to, or that the one that represents your state. Because I didn't go to LSU, but I'm an LSU fan because I'm from Louisiana. So you might have that allegiance. It's different with the pros, right? Especially with only 12 teams, you might not have a team in your market, right? Like, there's no team in New Orleans for the WNBA, so I'm a Phoenix Mercury fan because I live in Arizona now. And it brings me to another topic. So Diana Taurasi, she was a guest on SVP Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt. Her and Sue Bird, they do a show during the women's tournament. Very entertaining. They always have a good time. And SVP was asking about how well some of these college players translate to the WNBA. And Diana Taurasi was like, it's going to be a learning curve there. Reality might hit them because it is a different level between college and pros, which is true. That's the definition of going from amateur to pro. There's a reason why you get paid in the pros what you get paid. And in college, before the NIL, you didn't get paid, and now you get paid based on your popularity and not by the salary of the team. So with the players who are experiencing this popularity boom in college, some people may expect them to come into the WNBA and dominate right away. It's not going to happen. Now, Caitlin Clark is special. She may do a Candace Parker. Candace Parker came into the WNBA and was one of the top players right away. But that's very hard to do. And we've seen some of her limitations. When you have someone who can guard her, like South Carolina has the athletes that they have, those WNBA teams will have athletes like that who can guard her and can pick her up full court and can force her to her left, can force her into in-between shots that she's still not the best at when it comes to hitting floaters and those in-between mid-range shots. She can hit them, but it's not her strength yet. I'm pretty sure she can develop that for sure because she's that good of a talent. But it's not something that she has in her bag that she's quite comfortable with yet outside of bombing threes and getting to the goal because of her three-point threat. So I'm going to need people to temper their expectations for Caitlin Clark and realize that the best of the best that you see in college that can give Caitlin some trouble when it comes to their defense, those type of players are already in the W. And she will have some problems when it comes to people picking up full court. When it comes to not being able to get open the way she can in college. That's going to happen. So when it comes to the WNBA, I think it's moving in the right direction. It is a young league. But I think that the people, not just women, the people who have been supporting women's college sports should do the same thing for the WNBA. Because if you're not supporting the WNBA, but you're saying you love women's basketball, you're being a hypocrite. Now, if you just like college ball better than pro ball, that's your prerogative. But there's no way to watch basketball and be like, oh, I like college better because of the quality. No way. Especially on the men's side. Like, the men's national championship is tonight. I have no interest. I have no interest in it at all. I know UConn's going for back-to-back. Cool. Great accomplishment. I know Purdue has this monster big man just from, you know, the highlights I've seen. But I have no connection to any of the players. I have no connection to the stories of men's college basketball. So women's college basketball has done a great job of making us feel included, of making the game matter in a way that has 18 million people watching the championship game yesterday. That's amazing. And hopefully they can translate that to the WNBA. It's on the W to make sure that's not on Caitlin Clark's shoulders alone. There's a bunch of rookies coming in who are great, and there's great young players in the game already. Let's market all of them in a way. Use everything they have. That includes them being attractive. Like, use everything to your advantage that they have to attract everybody. And I'm not saying not doing it in a trashy way, anything like that, but you can do that tastefully as well. And let's not get it twisted. Being attractive helps. So they can use that when you talk about Asia Wilson, Sabrina Ionescu. You talk about some of the other players in the W that guys find attractive, that other women find attractive. They can use that in a way to market the game as well, along with the primary reason being that they can ball. So I think that there's plenty of ways to do that. And let's not put it all on Caitlin Clark's shoulders. But I'm going to close out this segment by saying congrats to South Carolina. I love what the women's game is doing. Congrats to USC and Juju for what they were able to do. UConn and Paige, I don't know if Paige is coming out, if she's going to stay another year. But congrats to what they're doing. Like, the women's game is so dope right now in college and in the WNBA. Y'all should check it out. So we're going to take our first music break. When we come back, talk a little rap music beef, and then I'll bring it back to show you why that connects to sports in my head. You know, my head's a little different. So we'll be right back.
To switch my whip as much as Rick and Morty switch dimensions. Never really known for dressing gaudy, bitch. Cause listen, where I'm from, the bullets feed the ones that starving for attention. She said he hella smart, I would've swore he went to Princeton. Not quite, but it's the school of life that taught me death prevention. That's why I barely panic when the hammers, they be blaming. No mechanics, but they
stay snug inside the party with the wrenches. I think fast, cause niggas that be tardy get detention. Your soul looking down over your body in suspension. The critics, they be on me, but they all be disingenuous. Bitch, I came around addiction, see like 40 interventions. Your shit ain't adding up, know you a phony. Check your image, rapping tough, but all the niggas in your audience is bitches. And white boys, mostly niggas know a verse from Cole. Be like a sign, Michael Jordan, rookie card in mint condition. The farthest thing from Harvard shit, be honest with me. Listen, you know if I want it, I be John Gotti with the henchmen, right? I mean, it's simple math. The bits of cash could get a nigga bag, but that don't make you big and bad. Just mean you rich and mad. Nigga, your pillow soft, so kill a boss talk. Me to use a side knot pill to a little cough drop. This the bill, fill a hard knocks. They selling hard rock. More plugs than these niggas use to fill a ball spot. Kill them all and fill them all up. I got balls forever, nigga. Never will a car drop. No hammer like a mall cop. Still the hardest nigga on the planet Earth from January 1st until the ball drop.
Yeah, he climbed out the great view. This gangster. He missed meals to make meals. This gangster. Came back, gave back. This gangster. Same chick from way back. He's gangster.
Twisted the paper and roll you a spliff. I'm lit, bitch, I'm lit. Just like the Vegas trip going through chips. I'm rich, bitch, I'm rich. David Chappelle on his latest Netflix. Go ahead, try to cancel my shit. I still be on stage with my hand on my dick. 17,000 on jamming my hits. These are ridiculous times. Lately, my biggest addiction been looking online. When somebody's always offended, I'm sick of this crying. Niggas is dying, fitness of time. Self-inflicted, we sick in the mind. What's with the gossip? If you really handle your business, and you wouldn't have so much interest in mine. Breaking news, I've officially entered my prime. Which is real interesting, this is the point where a rapper would typically start to decline. Somehow I climb, right when you thought I was fine. We're running a little behind. Nancy was trying to tell you that this is a marathon. Only listen to Minister Farrakhan. Oh my God, it just hit me as terrifying. I'ma start like the shit on the sheriff's sign. If time was really money, I could purchase like 2,000 bricks in my spare time. All praises due to my God. Dark days is too far behind. I part ways with the struggle. My hustle gon' always keep the squad paid. All late, but no off days. Cause the money don't sleep. They due to the focus. I couldn't even go wrong if I spent like 100 a week. Ain't talking cheap. I got a short receipt. Can tell by your heart you're weak. What's about this money? It's easy to get it, but trust me, my nigga, it's hard to keep.
Yeah, he climbed out the great view. This gangster. He missed meals to make meals. This gangster. Came back, gave back. This gangster. Same chick from way back. He's gangster.
Tribulations of creation is the choir theme of those in dire need of elevation. 1 minute infatuation, next minute hate. Every statement you make, constant contemplation. Yearning for Hussein Cannon, search every nook and cranny for inspiration. Step outside for better ventilation. Smoke some, hope some comes from the stimulation. Through it all, stay patient. Get in tune with God, for when lightning strikes, it's He who decides. From a crueler side, what do you get euthanized? Small fries get suicides from moving pies. All our blind eyes get turned from suiting ties. The truth it lies somewhere in the middle of half-ass rappers and cap-ass croppers on Capitol Hill. Ain't no protection for hearts that get spilled. When sharing with this world where art can get killed. Use your discretion to believe or not to believe. That is the question. Might delete later.
Welcome back to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. So you just got finished listening to J. Cole featuring Ari Lennox and Gucci Mane, Pricey. Dope song from his new project, Might Delete Later. And the last song on that album is called 7 Minute Drill. And this is where he takes aim at Kendrick Lamar. And it's a few jabs, it's nothing crazy. Go to his discography, it's about them as musicians. And this is after Kendrick Lamar had a few bars that went at J. Cole on a track that he was on recently. And he went at Drake as well. So this was like, for hip-hop fans, like, oh man. Because they're considered the big three of this era. right? And you're like, man, you're gonna have J. Cole and Kendrick going at it. We might get some great diss records. We might get, you know, something like Ice Cube's No Vaseline, or something like Hit 'Em Up by Tupac, or any of the 50 Cent records that he had, or Nas's Ether, or Back to Back by Drake. Like, you could get something great out of this. And no one wants any real beef, because neither Kendrick or J. Cole has presented themselves as somebody who really wants any type of outside of music beef. So we knew going in that this would be a strictly music thing, strictly bar for bar, who's better. And they might find out some things about each other by doing some research. We've seen that before, you know, Pusha T, Drake, where things can get a bit personal. And maybe that's why J. Cole came out and apologized. He was at a Dreamville show and said that he regrets doing a diss record. And as a J. Cole fan, I'm a huge J. Cole fan. If you listen to this podcast, you've heard probably more J. Cole music in the breaks than anything. More Kanye music than anything. Those are my two favorite rappers. As a J. Cole fan, it was disappointing. It's like, J. Cole's been talking about how he's the best. And he's been going on features, and even with this latest album, been showing people, oh, this is what I do. I'm the best. No one's better than me. He says that on the track and on the album multiple times. So you're like, okay, I see it. And then for him to apologize, or in some people's eyes, back down, is very disappointing, because he talked like he was ready for it. I saw somebody tweet out, J. Cole did a lot of I wish a MF-er would type records. And then when the MF-er did, he backed down. And it's like, come on, bro. We didn't want no real beef. Y'all had two or three songs going at each other and didn't have y'all kumbaya moment? Cool, because we've seen it. We've seen plenty of artists who had record beefs hash it out later. Jay-Z and Nas being the most famous one. You know, plenty of other examples. Gucci Mane and Young Jeezy. So we want to see peace at the end of the day. But before that happens, let's get this competition. Let's see who's better. Let's make each other better by doing this. And that's what I thought we was going to see. And that's the energy I thought Cole was going to come with. Like, I want to see if I'm the best. For him to apologize, when he didn't even really go crazy. He didn't, like, do anything like Pusha T did with Drake and go well beyond just the music. He went at him on a music basis and poked fun at his discography. Nothing crazy. And seeing J. Cole apologize reminded me of when Kevin Durant joined Golden State. Now, KD did it unapologetically. And that's one thing about KD, he's going to be unapologetically him. He's a guy who doesn't mind saying what's on his mind and going to tell you how it is. And I appreciate that about him. But him joining Golden State was a way of ducking the smoke. The same way J. Cole ducked the smoke with Kendrick. And as a hooper and a hoop fan, you want to see the best of the best go at each other. The same way I'm a fan of J. Cole and want to see him be the best and go against the best. The same way I feel about the best hoopers in the world. You want to see them go at the best. And when KD joined forces with Steph Curry, it left a bad taste in my mouth for a lot of fans, not just me. And it was just like, yo, really? And that first year, they just ran through the competition. Easy peasy. Now, the second year, Houston got better and James Harden was able to, you know, orchestrate with this team around him to make it tough, but they still got a second championship. They made the three straight finals with Kevin Durant. And probably if KD doesn't get hurt that third year, They probably have 3 straight championships. Now, the difference is Kevin Durant has had his chance to quote-unquote redeem himself afterwards. Went to Brooklyn, didn't work out. The furthest they made it was to the second round. Now he's with the Suns. First full season with the Suns. Last year, only played 8 regular season games. Before the playoffs, they lost in the second round to Denver. This year, right now, they are tied for the 6th spot and could very easily fall to 7 or 8 and fall in the play-in because their last 4 games are tough. The next 2 games are back-to-backs against the LA Clippers, which they can easily lose both of those games and find themselves in a 7 or 8 spot in the play-in. Especially, they had a chance to put some distance between them and the Pelicans on Sunday, but Zion had an amazing performance, which we'll go more into after the break. So KD, the odds of him making it back to the finals or winning the championship without Steph Curry are getting lower and lower. So on his legacy, it will always be remembered that he couldn't do it without Steph Curry. He did make it to the finals once without him in OKC. But never after. He never won a championship after. So that stain, for some people, will always be there. Some people don't mind the move at all. Like, he did what was best for him. He thought it was the best basketball fit. And obviously, it worked out well. Won 2 championships, got 2 finals MVPs. But from a competitive standpoint, it was like, yo, come on, man. Really? This is what we doing? And now you just gotta, if you're KD, hope that with Phoenix you can do something that's special. And even now, Devin Booker looks like the top guy on that team. So it's gonna be people that, let's say Phoenix does pull off some miracle and win a championship. There's gonna be people that look at that championship and like, KD was able to join Devin Booker and he never did it as the guy. That won't be fair, but some people have that criticism. When it comes to J. Cole, he has a chance to redeem himself because his music career could last way longer than the basketball career, obviously. But also, he's been teasing this album called The Fall Off, right? And My Delete Later, I thought was awesome. I've listened to it 4, 5, 6 times already, and I think it's amazing. Honestly, not really a bad track on there. I have a different favorite song every time I go back to it. So I think it's really dope. He's saying the fall off is the real thing that's coming. That everybody should be waiting for. So if the fall off comes out and it's a banger, it's amazing, it lives up to what he's been pumping it up to be, people will forget about this. They will say, okay, this is what he's doing. He's on his Zen stuff, but he's giving us his dope music. We can forgive it. Now, the fall off comes out and it's bad. There's going to be some people who are going to dog it regardless because J. Cole apologized. But if you're being objective and it's bad, then we'll come back to, oh, see, he ain't been the same since he apologized to Kendrick. So for J. Cole, he has a chance. For KD, I don't know if Phoenix is built for that. I don't know if they're built to win a championship because Yusef Nurkic, right? Watching the game on Sunday, Yusef Nurkic should have been able to take advantage of the Pelicans. The Pelicans played small. They took Giannis out of the game. Giannis Valanciunas out of the game. We were Larry Nance at center. Sometimes it was Zion at center. Played really small. And Yusef Nurkic was not able to take advantage. These have been times where they would allow the switch. They would allow Phoenix to get the matchup that they wanted with Yusef Nurkic on someone like Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels is an amazing perimeter defender, but he's just small against Yusef Nurkic. You think Nurkic would be able to take advantage of that? Didn't. Got to give some props to Dyson Daniels for that, but you also got to look at Yusef Nurkic like, yo, you're too big for that. So because of their lack of size and lack of oomph as a team, I don't know if Phoenix can do it. Now, offensively, they're going to have games in the playoffs where it's like, yo, Booker, KD, and Bradley Beal all went crazy. And they're going to look unstoppable. But they also have games where they can't stop the other person, or the other team. So I don't see KD ever having a chance to redeem himself the way J. Cole has that chance to. And that's just the way I see it connecting. My mind works in that way. It brings everything to sports in some type of way. But let me know if I'm tripping with that comparison, all right? So we're going to take our last music break. Short episode today. We're going to talk a little NBA after the break. Welcome back to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. Hopefully you enjoyed that music break. So now let's talk a little basketball, a little NBA. And let's start with the Eastern Conference. We are down to the final week of the regular season. things are really starting to take form and take shape in the Eastern Conference right now. The Celtics have had the one seed locked up for a minute. They literally have a 15-game lead over number two. So they're at a point now where if they don't make the finals, this is a huge failure. Huge failure. To have the regular season that they've had, where right now they're 62-16. If they don't march to the finals, it's a failure. And honestly, if they don't win a championship, it's still going to be a disappointment unless they were up against Denver. And Denver seems like a team that may have their number and just may be the right type of matchup to where they can't handle it. But the Celtics, everything looks right. They can do everything great defensively, offensively. They can shoot threes with the best of them. They can take advantage if you try to go small and switch. I saw it against my Pelicans where Kristaps Porzingis is like, oh, y'all gonna go small? Let me post up. Al Horford, y'all gonna go small? I can still get in the post as well. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, amazing. Like, they have everything. Everything. There's no holes in this lineup. So, come playoff time, there's no excuses for them. At the 2 seed, we got the Milwaukee Bucks, who are losers of 4 straight as I talk right now on this Monday afternoon. I just don't get them. I don't understand them. I don't know what's going on. I understand they've been dealing with some injuries. Doc Rivers, he's had a worse record than what Adrian Griffin had when he was there. And the thing is, he was brought in to fix the defense, right? And defense has been better. But for some reason, they're losing to bad teams. It's just, they're heading the wrong direction going into the playoffs. And they are prime. They are prime for an upset. They are prime for a team to catch them slipping. Prime for that. At the 3 seed, we got the Magic right now at 46-32, tied with the Knicks at the same record. So there's still some things that can happen there. But the Magic, man, I love them. They offensively can struggle at times, especially with their outside shot. That's going to be something come playoff time where teams are going to sag off. Teams are going to make you prove that you can do what you struggle with during the regular season, right? But defensively, they are so good that they're going to be in games. And right now, they are set to play against the Pacers in the first round. But again, that can change because, see, from 2 to 6, there's only 2.5 games separating all those teams. So these still can change over these next few days. But I like the Magic a lot and would not be shocked, especially if they end up in that third seed, would not be shocked if you see the Orlando Magic in the conference finals against the Boston Celtics. At the 4th spot right now, we got the New York Knicks. No Julius Randle, he's out. OG Anunoby, in and out. A lot's been put on Brunson and, you know, the rest of that team that, you know, is scrappy. They're going to play defense. They're going to play hard, but you only get so far by being scrappy. They just don't have the offensive talent without Randall. And Anunoby also brings that as well. He's more of a defensive guy, but he also brings offense. If he's not healthy, I don't see them getting out of the first round. Unless the Cavaliers choke again. The Cavaliers are the 5th spot right now. They've been dealing with some issues, losers of 3 straight. And they seem like they just can't get right. Darius Garland's been kind of down this year. He's one of my favorite players, but he hasn't had a Garland-type year. Donovan Mitchell's been dealing with injuries. And they seem ripe to be a team to disappoint as well. The Pacers, they look good, but going against the Magic, that's going to be very interesting if that series happens because you have total opposites. The Magic are more slow-paced and struggle offensively. But they are demons on defense. You got the Pacers who are fast-paced. Demons on offense, not so much on defense. So that'll be a very interesting series to see who comes out of that one. Right now at the 7th spot, you got the 76ers who are winners of 5 straight. Embiid is back. So they could mess around and catch Indiana for that 6th spot. They're only a half game back. And that would be major. That would be major if they're able to do that. Or they're one game back, excuse me. That would be major. Because they can avoid the play-in. They can give Embiid some more time to get ready. If you get 76ers versus Magic in the first round, that could be tough for the Magic. That's a really tough first round series. So it's going to be interesting. Then you got the Heat right there at 8, who just never die. Bill Simmons calls them the zombie Heat because they just never die. It's, you know, that's where they're going to be at. You got the Bulls and Hawks, who have clinched play-in position at 9 and 10. I don't see either one of those teams beating the 76ers or the Heat, whoever loses that 7-8 game. But you never know. The Bulls have been playing better lately, but don't see that happening. So there's a lot going on in the Eastern Conference in those playoffs, but it's going to be very interesting this last week, man, because you still got a lot going down. The Western Conference is even more chaotic than the East. So right now the top seed is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are tied with Denver at 54-24, but they have a tiebreaker. So they're number one. They need Cat back. If they don't have Cat back, they are definitely very, very vulnerable to an upset. Now, right now, the eighth seed is the Kings, but we all know that can change the play-in tournament. If they mess around and get the Lakers in that first round without Cat, don't like their chances. The Kings, they could beat the Kings. If it's the Pelicans at 8, that's a very tough matchup without Cat. If it's the Warriors at 8 without Cat, that's very interesting. I still think the Timberwolves will win that series. There's a lot of different matchups that can happen there. Nuggets at 2. It also could be the Suns in that play-in as well. The Nuggets, I'm not worried about them in any series, to be honest with you. They have been here before. They've done it before. They're pretty healthy. Jamal Murray has been going through some things, but seems like come playoff time, they'll be fully healthy and ready to go. The Thunder are only one game back of the Nuggets and Timberwolves at the 3 spot. If the season ended today, they will play the Suns in the first round, which that's a very interesting series. Will the Suns' experience of having KD, Bill, and Booker, players who have been through these wars before, help them against the Thunder? But the Thunder just seem like a better team. No disrespect to Frank Vogel, but the Thunder seem better coached. They just seem like a team that really knows exactly what they want to do and when they want to do it. And the Suns don't seem like that. At the 4th spot, we got the Clippers, who are winners of 3 straight. Seem like they're starting to get it back together. The Mavericks at the 5 spot, who have been playing very, very well. That could be a hell of a first-round series. We've seen it before. Luka and Kyrie this time going at Kawhi and Paul George, along with James Harden being in there. That series will be crazy. I can see it going 7 games and just being an absolute classic. At the 6th spot, I mentioned earlier, we got the Suns right now, but they're tied with the Pelicans at 46-32. But they do have the tiebreaker because they won a season series. But they are playing against the Clippers in back-to-back games, while the Pelicans are playing against the Trailblazers tomorrow. So you can see that switch very quickly. The Kings at 8, no Malik Monk. That's really big for them. They're going to be the team that everybody wants to play in that first round. The Lakers at 9, again, depends on the first round matchup. If they get the Timberwolves without Cat, I can see them winning that series. The Thunder will be tough, but that will be a matchup where their veteran leadership could help them out. I don't see them beating the Nuggets, and that's the 3 teams they could face. The Warriors, they were able to secure the top 10 spot, and they even made a graphic about it, which is hilarious. For a team that's as successful as the Warriors have been to celebrate clenching a top 10 seed, that's wild. But that shows you where they are now. They're no longer championship contenders. They're a team that celebrates the 10 seed. And they're going to be a team, if they do happen to sneak into the playoffs, first round exit against any of those teams. Timberwolves, Nuggets, or Thunder, I don't see the Warriors winning. Steph Curry will win you a game or two because he's Steph Curry, but they don't have a shot. So those were my quick thoughts on the teams going into the last week of the season. Next week, I will do my play-in playoff preview along with my NBA awards. So be ready for like a full-length, longer episode. Just want to give you a little taste today. Hopefully you enjoyed this shorter episode of The Real Deal with Damian Adams. If you did, please share it with your friends and family so they can see the podcast and subscribe as well. And until next time, go real or go home.